Well, Sprechstimme simply means speech, voice. You never use your voice the way you would in opera or singing a song. You don't vibrate. You are telling the story in a ta-da, da-da-da-da, da-da, den Wein, den man mit Augen trinkt, rather than den Wein, den man mit Augen trinkt.
The soprano Lucy Shelton, talking about Arnold Schoenberg's use of the extended vocal technique Sprechstimme in his song cycle Pierrot Lunaire. This is Classical Gas, a podcast series for Classical Voice North America. I'm Gail Wine. Lucy Shelton is well known for her interpretation of contemporary vocal music. I've long associated her with Schoenberg's Pierrot Lunaire, a melodrama written in 1912, which she's performed about 40 times. What better person to unravel the thorny mysteries of the enigmatic work, which is emblematic of 20th century chamber music? And what better time to ask than in 2024, the 150th anniversary of Schoenberg's birth? I started out with the most basic question. What is Pierrot Lunaire?
Well, it's a set of 21 songs, poems, by Albert Giraud, which got translated into German and took on a very different form from the original. They're all the same length poem, same format. They're all about characters in the Commedia dell'arte.
What about Pierrot do you think is important? What makes it such a significant piece in the canon?
It is the very first time that a mixed ensemble was put together. Very first time that winds and strings performed together. There were, you know, obviously sonatas for every solo instrument and piano trios, piano quartets, piano quintets, which would be strings, and there would be wind quintets, but there had never been a mixing. And this originally, it was written for an actress, and Schoenberg kept expanding the parameters. So the piece was actually commissioned by an actress, Albertine Zemme. She was used to, well, she was a theater person, and she'd been doing a lot of melodramas, which are spoken text with piano accompaniment. And I think that was the initial idea, but Schoenberg wanted to add, oh, let's add cello. And then, oh, I need to add violin. And of course the violin, we'll also play viola. And, oh, we need winds, we'll add a flute. So it eventually became this flute, and the flute also plays piccolo. Clarinet, the clarinetist plays B-flat clarinet and also bass clarinet. And violinist, who also plays viola, cello only plays cello, and piano only plays piano. But you see, and the only time that all of those instruments get involved in one of the pieces is the final one. Each movement, and it's based on 3x7 poems by Albert Giraud, which originally would have been in French, but Schoenberg only saw the German translation by Hartleben, so it was a German text that he was setting, all based on little scenes from the Commedia dell'arte, with the usual suspects, Pierrot being the main one. He's looking at the moon, as he always does, and he's a complicated character. He never has a first-person poem. It's all descriptive of him and his shenanigans and his playing tricks on people. But the other characters that appear are Colombine and Cassandra and but it's descriptive. The moon is a major character in the piece, Lunaire, Pierrot Lunaire. And it's storytelling. I mean, I've done a staged version. I've actually done three staged versions. I once did it from memory, staged with the Da Camera of Houston. And that's a fascinating process. It had a dancer, John Kelly, played the character Pierrot. And then I did it also with Eighth Blackbird, where we had puppets. Oh, that was spectacular. And not plural puppets. We had a puppet who was the Pierrot character. So he was in the scene reacting, and I was ostensibly kind of the poet having all these visions. And that puppet had my face. They had done a plaster copy of my face, so there was a kind of confusion of character that I was related to this Pierrot.
Mit Augen trinkt, geht nach dem Mond in Wogen nieder. Und eine Springflut überschwemmt den stillen Horizont.
At what point did you first hear of the piece and first learn it and first perform it?
Well, I studied with Jan de Gaetani in early 70s. She, of course, was a very well-known contemporary music singer and had done Pierrot quite a bit. And my very first time doing it was at Marlborough in 78 with Felix Gallimere, who was one of the original violinist people. I mean, he knew Schoenberg. The Sprechstimme, the vocal part, is so unique, and to this day, there's no true, this is how you do it. Everybody has a different idea of how you do it. I just coached it last night with a singer in Juilliard who's going to be doing it, and she said, I've never been taught anything about Sprechstimme. I said, well, you tell stories, right? And you have your voice, and it's theatrical. Remember that it was written for theater, a theater person, not a singer. And we use our voices with a huge amount of range, especially when we're telling stories, reading books to children, or reciting a poem and going, oh no, and the big bad wolf, or blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, there's a huge range in a speaking voice.
Can you take a big step back and say what defines Sprechstimme and why did Schoenberg decide to use it?
Well, Sprechstimme simply means speech, voice. There's also Sprechgesang, which would be speech, singing. I don't have a way of separating those two, frankly. But it is, you never use your voice the way you would in opera or singing a song. You don't vibrate, except there are 9 pitches in Pierrot that say gesungen. So you need to suddenly do stille instead of stille. You do stille. You actually vibrate, and that happens right in the first song. But there, and around that, you are you are telling the story in a ta-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, den Wein, den man mit Augen trinkt, rather than den Wein, den man mit Augen trinkt. So you're not singing, you don't sing the pitches. It's not singing. It is more speech than singing. Mm-hmm. And very often when singers first look at it, if you go to the trouble to learn all the pitches, and it's good to know what the pitches are, but it's very hard then to take your voice out of it. So Jan never encouraged me to learn the pitches. She had me start, that's Jan de Gaetani, by just reciting the poem as if I were, reciting it for an audience, so with some drama and certainly understanding of the piece, of the text, and but not paying attention to anything that Schoenberg has asked for, and then play with it so that den Wein, den man mit Augen trinkt, geht nach dem und just use your voice all over the place, and that's because there is a huge range that he's asked for.
So that combination of instruments that you referred to before, that we all in the music business call Pierrot ensemble, that became a standard ensemble, and that was the first time it was used. Why do you think that combination sort of took off to the extent it did? I mean, there's not a zillion of those, but Da Capo and Eighth Blackbird, Voices of Change, Fires of London.
Well, they're wonderful pieces. It's the repertoire maybe that and the repertoire that's possible with an ensemble like that, because all of those groups you're talking about don't always play in their full group, and very often they have percussion as part of their ensemble, because that's Peter Maxwell Davies' Mad King and Miss Donathorne's Maggot both use Pierrot ensemble plus percussion. It's such an opportunity for color and range. I think it just was very attractive to composers.
Why the fascination with the character of Pierrot? What new spin does Giraud put on it?
I don't know that there's what's the old spin? if we're asking what the new spin is, what are we?
Yeah, I actually don't know either.
Yeah, well, that was a good question then. I can answer it any way I want. Okay. The entertainment, the Commedia dell'arte was entertainment for the people traveling. Simple, and in a way, the characters were so fanciful, you didn't necessarily need to really know what they were saying. If you didn't know their language, the miming was a big part of it. Although you know that Schoenberg actually had initially said this piece should always be done in the audience's language. Now that was completely ignored. I tried once to do. Well, I've done it in English, and it doesn't have the bite, of course, that the German does.
What else would you like to tell me? What else do you want people to know about Pierrot?
It's such a colorful piece. I adore it, and I hope I'm doing it till the day I die, as it were, because that's one thing about Sprechstimme. It's, you know, your voice. I won't ever not be able to do it, is my thought. They're such character pieces. I mean, I guess it would help to really know the text of each one as you're listening to it. But you still can just listen and sort of feel the opening one. It describes the moonlight coming down and this the opening little piano thing. It's very calm, and the final one is also very calm, as he has had returns. Pierrot has had this big journey and he returns. So Pierrot is a very neurotic character. I mean, one of them, he's trying to get a speck off of his jacket. And it turns out it's really just a bit of moonlight. But and he's trying to get it off. And there's such bizarre things that happen in the stories. It's all fanciful.
Lucy Shelton, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Pleasure to do so. Thank you, Gail.
The soprano Lucy Shelton and her insights into Pierrot Lunaire by Arnold Schoenberg. This is Classical Gas. I'm Gail Wine, producer and host of this podcast series. Thanks for listening.